Reading from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Book 1, Chapter 7, Text 144. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Now, one other thing. I have to use another phone. Somehow, my regular number doesn't link up to the Sangha. I don't know why. But if somehow this breaks up, then someone just please give me a call at my regular phone. Svadiyasta krita sukrit api bhuvo vapa vachasa rida shrutyangarva sprishati kritati kastirapiya Nityam Shri Gopi Kuchakala Sakat Smira Vilasat Padiyangri Dvande Kaliyatu Taram Prema Bhajanam. Whether by speaking, thinking, hearing, or physical contact, if any person in this world comes in touch even once with these pastimes of yours and is convinced of their importance, may he be endowed eternally with the power to worship your feet in pure love. Feel resplendent with the saffron dust from the pitcher-like breast of the blessed gopis. Commentary. Narada now submits his second request. He wants to be assured by the Lord's personal promise that anyone in the future who directly or indirectly experiences the transcendental nectar of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes will be blessed to relish the taste of pure love. When he says, kaschit api, anyone at all, Narada means that prerequisites as to caste or any other qualifications, material or spiritual, should be put aside. Because Krishna's glories and Krishna's devotees are all merciful, simply coming in contact with them should automatically make even the most uncivilized, wretched person pious and fortunate. Remembrance of Krishna naturally arises in the heart of one who meets a pure devotee of Krishna and hears from him about Krishna's pastimes. The only qualification the hearer of Krishna Katha needs is that he be kritadi, eager to hear and ready to trust the authority of Krishna's representatives who speak his message. Equipped with this one quality of confident determination to hear with faith, a Vaishnava can remember Krishna vividly by listening to accounts of his pastimes and visiting the places where he performed them. As mentioned earlier, the gopis told Uddhava when they met him in Vrindavan, quote, "Dear Uddhava, when Krishna was here in the company of Sankarsana, he enjoyed all these rivers, hills, forests, cows, and flute sounds. All these remind us constantly of Nanda's son. Indeed, because we see Krishna's footprints, which are marked with divine symbols, we can never forget him." Remembrance of Krishna is awakened not only by hearing his glories and the glories of his land, Vrindavan, but also by direct physical contact. Vaishnavas can physically touch Krishna's glories in the form of the book Srimad Bhagavatam. They can hear about Sri Vrindavan Dham from the Bhagavatam. And then if fortunate enough, they can come to Vrindavan to bathe in the dust on which Krishna and his dearmost devotees have walked. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaibhya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 1 second.
Today we're okay.
Okay. So I guess we're, to one extent, trying to do what's recommended here and trying to fulfill the benediction of Narada Muni, or the benediction that Narada Muni asked from Krishna, that anyone who comes in contact with these pastimes, maybe he be empowered with devotion. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says that there are 5 most potent items of devotional service. Of course, chanting the holy name is the most powerful, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's also, of course, recommended in the Bhagavatam. And most powerful really means most absorbing. And absorption is based on 2 factors. Well, at least from the object of absorption, its power to, of course, there's our own qualification, but its power to absorb us by the nature of its form. The nature of the form of sound is that it seeks you. Other objects of devotion you may have to seek out. The kirtan, it seeks you. And also the element of mercy. And the element of mercy, to come towards one beyond one's own effort, is an element of spiritual life. Even there in the Yoga Sutras, when Ishvara Pranidhan, to surrender to God, is mentioned. And the reason is because even from a standpoint of pure yoga, which is basically working from the outside in, you're trying to realize the soul from the platform of the mind. And you're trying to and it's, in that sense, it's an ascending process. It depends on your own effort. And as said in Bhagavad Gita, control the mind is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. Just imagine that analogy during a hurricane.
how difficult it is to control. It's just such a perfect analogy. Well, the mind is raging like that. And yoga will not be achieved until the mind is completely still. And the mind being completely still means, basically on the platform of yoga, that one eradicates any vrittis or fluctuations of the mind. Can you imagine what it is to eradicate all fluctuations in the mind? In the Yoga Sutras, it mentions that the accomplished yogi eventually develops only one vritti. And that is the vritti that wants to terminate any other fluctuations of thought. But yoga is not complete until you terminate even the terminator samskara, the terminator vritti, the terminator thought. It's so arduous. So, therefore, an element of mercy, an element of something descending to assist you. So there has to be an element of bhakti or devotion. In every spiritual path is dependent on bhakti, because ascent to the absolute truth is not feasible. There has to be an element of worship to help us. Whether you believe the object of your worship is the goal or not, there has to be that object of worship to help us in our spiritual ascent. What to speak of the process of bhakti in Bhagavad Gita, one of the main processes is Tesham Sati. One of the main key verses is Tesham Satati Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purtadami Udiyogam Tvam. That it's reciprocal. You're not only worshiping, you're not only ascending in terms of your own consciousness, but because the object of your meditation you are in relationship with, and it has power, not only power, but all power, it can reciprocate to remove the obstacles to the object of your meditation. So, I during this class is that it always has challenges. Somehow the car is a little bit challenging because movement, especially rapid movement, is the mode of passion. And the mode of passion, the nature of it is the shape or distraction. And to speak Shastra, there has to be really to access your frame of reference. Hopefully when I speak, I'm calling on something within me. Plus, it may hopefully be some super soul help, but it's super soul help also to call upon the frame of reference within me. So it generally takes a sattvic environment and a sattvic consciousness. So forgive me if the class sometimes takes on the form of the ride. So we'll just bring it up to date, and that will perhaps refresh my frame of reference. Krishna is telling Narada he's not disturbed. Narada is worried that he's offended Krishna. By coming into the palace and searching for the topmost devotee, which directed the consciousness of the residents of Dwarka to Vrindavan, and the nature of love is that you talk about it, and therefore they began to talk about Vrindavan, which agitated Krishna's intense feelings of separation or love for the residents of Vrindavan, which threw Krishna into a very disturbed condition. Krishna then relieves Narada's anxiety by telling him that the real jewel, the real realization in consciousness is remembrance of the object of your meditation, is remembrance of pure consciousness, remembrance of God. And that which invokes remembrance of God, of Krishna, is the greatest gift, even if it's invoked through the pain of separation. And in fact, that pain of separation, that disturbance of separation, which brings the object of consciousness to the forefront of one's consciousness, on the transcendental plane, is the highest pleasure. So Krishna says, no, it is. And he says, I'll give you any benediction. GPS. I'll give you any benediction. And Narada says something very interesting, that people should not, he prays that devotees never have enough mercy, never enough devotional service, never enough love. The sadhakas never have enough mercy. Those practicing never have enough service. And those mature never have enough prema. And Krishna thinks that, what kind of benediction? This is a given, of course. How can the highest perfection be limited? If something is perfect, you'll always want more. And he explains to him that all these devotees that you saw, even though there's a gradation, even though there's a gradation, they're all perfect, but none are satiated, because that's the nature of love. That's the nature of love. The nature of love, love is a want. It's a desire. I'm really being annoyed by this GPS, but it's my driver right now. That's the nature of love. There's a want. There's a strong desire. Desire is want. So if you have a lot of love, you have a lot of want, and it creates a sense of hunger or need for the very thing that you have. So he asked for another benediction, and Narada, because the nature of a devotee what's that verse? Vairagya yukbhakti risam piyatnai apayamam manapipsa mandam kripambhuya paraduka duki sanatanastam prabhamasriyami. That the nature of a devotee is he's paraduka duki. He has no wants, he has no sufferings. But his suffering is for the suffering of others. So he's always thinking of others. The nature of a just like at the description of the Bhagavatam, the sages of Naimisharanya, they're performing a sacrifice because they see there'll be suffering. They want to counteract it. It's natural. If perfection is perfection in heart, and perfection in love, a person in perfection whose heart is soft must be compassionate. Compassion is the, there's different types of love. There's respect for those above one, or worship. There's friendship with those who are equal. And there's compassion for those who are below one. Or there's compassion for people who one sees in need. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two aspects of God in perfection. God in perfection means, Swayam Bhagavan means full revelation of God's love without any inhibition. That's the perfection of divinity, according to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The perfection of divinity is not position. It's position with personality. And when position has personality, then position sheds position for the full revelation of personality. Whenever someone high becomes equal for the perfection of personality, someone who is high becomes inferior for the perfection of personality. Someone who's high becomes intimately equal for the perfection of personality. So this is the whole concept of Gaudiya Vaishnava conception of divinity, that position sheds personality for the purpose of perfection. Full revelation. And that's what the Brihat Bhagavatamrita has been about. That's what Narada Muni has been searching for, the topmost devotee. One who has experienced the full mercy of God and thus the full personality of God, who has shed his authority for the purpose of love. And when that happens, when the full heart of the divine is manifest, it becomes madhurya, or very, very sweet. And that's the benediction that Narada Muni wants. He wants to spread the names of that aspect of the absolute reality. The names which are acquired in Gokula, which are sweeter than the names of anywhere else. The names in Gokula which describe qualities which cannot be found anyplace else. The nonchalance and intimacy of Gokula, where God wears a peacock feather in his hair and gunja ornaments in his ears and garlands of kadamba flowers around his neck, a beauty a friendship, a love, a variety of pastimes, which cannot be found anyplace else. Where he's called Nandanandana and Yasoda Vatsala and Gopika Manohar and Vraja Janananda. So when divinity has that full revelation, it manifests in Madhurya. It manifests in sweetness, not Aishvarya opulence. Beauty manifests in two ways. Aishvarya, opulence, grandeur, and sweetness. Beauty is a golden dome. Beauty is a fragrant rose. Beauty is opulence, and beauty is intimacy. So Krishna means, when the revelation of God has that madhurya, the sweetness, and sweetness is covered by opulence. Sometimes in descriptions of Vrindavan, has incredible opulence. In Radha Kund, they describe the different kunjas of the Astika Sakis, the main gopis. And Lalita's is described as a crystal palace. There's a book by Baladev Vidyabhushana called Aishvarya Kandambani, which describes the opulence of Vrindavan. But I always marveled when you read the Krishna book or the 10th canto, but specifically read the Krishna book of Srila Prabhupada, you really get a vision of almost mud huts and a simple village. Because one who has that intimate relationship, the opulence recedes to the path. If you love someone, the sweetness of their relationship completely overshadows the beauty of the environment in which you are experiencing that relationship, especially grandeur and opulence, which tends to create distance between the object of love and the lover. So that's Madhurya. And the other aspect of the absolute reality is Odarya, because when the heart is so intimate in love, when it is reflected on those who are suffering, then naturally the mood will become compassion. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes, the difference between Navadvip and Vrindavan. Vrindavan is where Swayam Bhagavan Krishna is manifest in his full revelation. But the madhurya or the sweetness takes prominence in that personality. And when the mood of compassion takes prominence, then Radha Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vrindavan becomes Navadvip. And the flute of Krishna becomes the kirtan of the holy name. It becomes a chant of compassion, a chant of extending the mercy of the heart of the devotees of Krishna and Krishna to others. So now Narada is asked for another benediction, that any person who comes in touch with these sweet pastimes, they will be attracted And it's described here that contact means hearing or physically present, specifically mentions the bathe in the dust of Vrindavan. There's something to that. There's something to that experience of bathing in the dust of Vrindavan. It's so real. So Maharaj Prickett, he's telling this story to his mother as the essence of the Bhagavatam. And you can see how it's the essence of the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is a progression of understanding the absolute reality and the intimacy of love of the absolute reality. And it goes in cantos. First you understand in the first subject matters of the Bhagavatam, Atvasagas Vasagas Chastatir Poshanam Utaya. You understand how God is the creator of the universe. So you understand the relationship of Prabhuta Gyan, the mood of Prabhuta Gyan, the knowledge or the feeling or experience that God is great. In the conditioned state, we measure greatness in terms of matter, because that's our standard of reference. That's our frame of reference. So first you understand God in terms of the universe. And then the relationships become more and more intimate. And there's, we learn about Dhruva worshipping Narayan and Prahlad. And then you get to the ninth canto, and there's finally descriptions of Ramachandra, where the relationships with God become even, it's still, ninth canto is still Aishwarya. God manifests as, not God, but as the king. And then comes the tenth canto. And then the tenth canto, the past, they begin with Krishna's parental and friendship love, and then finally it goes up to the love of the gopis. And then within the love of the gopis, then finally a special gopi is mentioned. Aniyaradito nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishvara. Aniyaradito, there's no one who loves Krishna and has as much love for Krishna as Radha, as the gopis. The gopis are expansions of Radha. So, Maharaj Prickett, you can see how this Brihat Bhagavatamrita, in another form, in a condensed form, exactly parallels the progression of understanding and relationship of the absolute reality that the Bhagavatam so expertly. So now Prickett is going to end this story, and he says to his mother, he's describing, then Krishna, Gopinath, extended his divine hand with great respect for Narada, blissfully said, so be it. So Narada asked, these benedictions, and these benedictions are there, that he'll be able to spread the glories, the intimate glories, wherever he wanders, and that people who hear these glories, they'll develop love of God, which reveals the purpose of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is meant to help us develop that relationship with God. That's what the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is. When you hear about the sweetness of Krishna and the relationship of the residents of Vrindavan with Krishna, that inspires within one's heart some type of desire. Some type of desire. I want this. That's what bhakti means. I want this. And when by repeatedly doing this and increasing one's devotional service, when that voice in the heart increases, I want Krishna. I want Krishna. In the mood of separation, following the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then that voice intensifies to such a level that it becomes exclusive in one's consciousness and creates within Krishna a trust to give the devotee the potency of love of God, which can activate his relationship with God to the fullest degree. So that's the process of bhakti. I want Krishna. I want Krishna. And as one starts to develop in that way and is careful to protect his bhakti lata beach by avoiding the things avoiding idle talk and hoarding it and things that destroy bhakti, then when one hears the Bhagavatam, he begins to relish, first in a general way and then more in a specific way, his relationship with Krishna. Commentary: Krishna extended his right hand, the hand normally used to offer benedictions. Narada wanted explicit verification from Krishna. Therefore, Krishna showed his consent in such a way that no one could fail to understand. When Krishna enjoys his pastimes as Gopinath, the lover of the gopis, he reveals the most confidential desires of his heart. And in the same mood as Gopinath, he happily accepted Narada's two requests. The sage was suddenly plunged into a vast ocean of supreme bliss. He sang and danced in various ways, thus delighting Krishna. So he gets this wonderful benediction. The whole key to Narada Muni as an exemplar to our spiritual life is his desire. We know that higher devotion means lobha, an exclusive desire for Krishna. Beg, borrow, or steal, I want Krishna. Great devotees have that desire, and it pervades their life. It does not necessarily mean they change their external activities. Prabhupada gave the example of a paramour and her lover. She may do the external duties better, but internally, the greed is there. It's not that the greed is necessarily manifest by renunciation from the world. Just like when Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and wanted to leave everything, Lord Chaitanya first sent him back home, and that's significant. He didn't want to set the example, which is so commonly misunderstood as the example, that spiritual life means to change one's situation rather than one's consciousness. Because one can change one's situation not out of a love for Krishna, but out of a frustration with one's own situation that may not be giving one the ego gratification or sense gratification one wants. And out of frustration, one leaves the world, which is actually egoism and personal desire. So he sent Raghunath Das Goswami home and said, you act as an ordinary pounds and shillings person. Also, that it shows also with Raghunath Das Goswami that being a sadhu, which is often misunderstood in India, is not you become a sadhu because you're lazy or because you're a failure in the world and you put a little color in your cloth and all of a sudden you're respected, which happens in India. I have to say, when you see what is generally considered the sadhu class, Indian scholar that I know, who is quite a humorist, he once asked me, what is the difference between a sadhu and a hippie? And I said, what? He said, a sadhu takes bath. And there's some truth to that. You know, they're immersed in some type of culture, but, I mean, I've seen it so many times. And it also happens within ISKCON in India, initially. Prabhupada even told Giriraj Swami, he said, if you let third-class people in, you'll only get fifth-class people. There's a tendency there. So it's kind of a status. So, so Narada's example is legitimate. Is legitimate. Okay, is legitimate enthusiasm. And he danced and he sang, and his dancing and singing gave Krishna pleasure. And what is giving Krishna pleasure? It's the love which is inspiring. The dancing and singing is a manifestation of prema bhakti, his internal potency, which is the only thing which can give him love, which can give him pleasure. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Narada then partook of excellent food and drink with the two lords as Devaki and Mohini supervised and Rukmini served. Invited by Balaram and Krishna to take lunch with them, Narada was served excellent sweet rice and other delicious dishes and various refreshing drinks. Since Rukmini was the first of Krishna's queen, she claimed the right to serve the meal. She went around to each of the three people eating and offered a small portion of whatever they wanted. So, this is the rasa now, directly with Krishna, Narada Muni, He's dancing and singing in ecstasy. Krishna is reciprocating with his love, sharing prasadam. Devaki and Mohini are supervising. They have love. They want to please. They make food tasty. It's a spiritual experience to taste the love of Krishna or food that's cooked with devotion and love. And Rukmini serves. The highest person serves. Because the highest position is servant. The highest position is servant spiritual. The highest position is to love, and love puts one in a position of servant. So advanced people want to serve. And they... Yeah. Well, we may have picked the wrong one, but don't worry about it. We may have taken the wrong thing here. Okay. A little... I can look. Anyway, we'll get back to the...
1.6 miles. Then turn left on Amsterdam Avenue.
Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. And then when you serve, you also serve in the proper way. Nice, he's serving. It's like offering a small portion of whatever they wanted. It's service. You can always give more. But to give people too much, that's not good, too. Just go straight. It's okay. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. Okay, I have to stop for questions because it's a little... Things are a little... Anybody like to ask questions? Anybody please say hello? Could someone please say hello?
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Maharaj. Shastra Das.
Okay. Thank you. Keep going on. Little challenging today, but... We're okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hari Bol Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya.
Thank you, Chaitanya Priya. I'm in Manhattan now. I'm going to Amiya Nimai's house. We have a little program, came from upstate. Anybody else like to say hello?
8.2 miles. Turn left on Amsterdam Avenue. Enter
life. Anybody else like to say hello? I'm riding through Harlem now. Yeah, that's what we want, this Harlem River Drive. That's great. Yeah, it's going to go left. You want to get to
turn
Harlem.
Turn left on Amsterdam Avenue.
Then
turn right.
Yeah, left and then right. Harlem River Drive. Okay. That's what we want. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Bajrani.
Thank you. Thank you. Always a challenge here. Right here. Sure. It's free. Okay. Jai GPS. Got it. Anybody else? Okay, it's a sunny day. Everybody's gone out to the beach. Okay. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you all. Stop. Panchakalpa Trubhya Chakra Pasindhu Vebhajra.